You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that's waiting for their Facebook buyout. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out this week.
Gotta get those Zuck dollars.
Yeah, oh yeah, the Zuck bucks.
The Zuck bucks. That's what money will be in the future.
Well, isn't he working on something like that? The Libra?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are actual legitimate Zuck bucks coming soon.
Why didn't he just call him Zuck Bucks?
I wish. I hope that takes off. You heard it here first, folks. Zuck bucks. Also the name of the episode already. Not even a minute into the show. I love it.
The only currency accepted in our post-apocalyptic future. It'll be like the bottle caps of Fallout. We'll trade Zuck bucks.
Yeah. It'll be Mad Max rules. It'll be gasoline and Zuck bucks. That's it.
It's like that game Anachronox where the money in that game is all Canadian loonies for some reason. It takes place in like the far off future, but for some reason through different events, the loonie ended up being the universal currency.
The loonie. Oh, I love it. That's great.
That's a really unappreciated game.
Mm.
It's almost like a Final Fantasy if a bunch of American game devs made it.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
One of the guys from id Software, one of the Doom guys, the Commander Keen guy, did it.
Oh, right on. Right on.
Okay, speaking of games, we have been watching a lot of awesome games done quick this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is going on, isn't it?
It's
been
running
yeah.
this week. It's been pretty entertaining.
Cool.
It always is.
Yeah, we caught the awful games block this morning. Where they
always a treat.
Oh, I know, I missed it this morning.
Specifically bad games.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, it's
what
so
were
fun.
What were some of the bad ones they picked out?
A lot of them were just stuff that even I hadn't heard of. It
really?
Was so like, obscure and
they
awful.
They really dug deep.
Yeah. There was one, it was like Robo, I can't remember the title, but you were a little robot, little girl inside a robot, and it was a 2D platformer for the Famicom.
Oh, wow.
And it was just hot garbage. But it was weirdly like a D.Va game. Like,
oh.
It was a similar concept.
Oh, really? Oh.
Little round robot, and you get hit, and she falls out of it, and you play as the little girl. But, like, the power-ups were nonsensical. Like, you pick up a triangle, and you get invincibility, and for some reason, the triangle hangs around the feet of your character sprite, so they just called it triangle shoes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then there's bad guys that are, like, square. So it's like, get the triangle, but don't touch the square.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome.
There was one this morning called, it was in between the horror block and the awful block. They were like transitioning between the two. It was called like Dr. Hauser or something. It wasn't Hauser, because that sounds like Doogie Hauser.
Yeah.
But it was something like that. It was a 3DO game that was in full 3D. It was kind of like a survival horror thing.
Mm-hmm.
It looked a lot like Resident Evil. Like, the backgrounds looked like they were pre-rendered, but they weren't.
Oh, really?
And it ran at about 5 or 10 frames per second.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
And there was, like, no combat, but a lot of things that just kill you instantly when you do them wrong.
Oh, wow. That...
So it was pretty entertaining to watch them, like, slog through this game that's 10 frames per second. And then you can switch your view angle to like an overhead view or different or first person, and it gets even slower.
Oh man, wow! But so, what were some of the what are some of the highlights? Some of the good games that you
they
watched.
They were glitching through Ocarina of Time, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Sure, okay.
And they found a way to like rewrite the game's code on the fly to change what is inside treasure chests.
Oh my gosh.
To get through the game that much quicker.
Wow. Like, how quick did they get through it?
It was still like a good hour or so.
But that's like Ocarina's like what, a 40-hour game?
Yeah. But there's one point where they just cycle through this area in the Great Deku Tree where they can change what's in one treasure chest and get like a whole bunch of different items over and over again.
Wow.
All in one room.
That's fantastic. That's amazing.
I think the presentation keeps getting better and better every year, too. They get better at it.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of that is because a lot of these streamers, when they're not doing official ADGQ stuff, they're Twitch streamers. So, you know, they're getting more comfortable. Yeah. They're naturally more comfortable behind the mic.
Yeah.
At least have some practice.
Although Mario 3 race was very entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot of, like, glitches and stuff, but it's just exciting to watch people race through Mario 3.
Oh, yeah.
Very well.
Yeah. Any high-skill game like that is super fun to watch. They had a Monkey Ball one.
Oh, they did.
And it was just ridiculous how good this guy was at Monkey Ball.
Just, like, bouncing off the edges of the mazes.
Yeah. Because you can't really cheese Monkey Ball. You kind of just have to know,
like, the physics and...
Yeah, how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's... It's really fun to watch people who really, really know what they're doing with one specific type of game or one... Or really any kind of thing. And, yeah.
There was a Ninja Turtles arcade game one.
Oh, really?
He tried to 1cc it, do it on one credit. He didn't quite make it. Mm. He still beat the game very quickly, though.
Oh, that's... Well, that's cool. That's awesome.
But I was disappointed he didn't get it in one credit.
Mm.
And I forgot how much I do love that game. The graphics and everything are so cartoony.
They're very cartoony and very... Yeah, I like them a lot, too. Now, all of this is to raise money for...
Prevent Cancer Foundation.
That's it. Yeah. So that's awesome. It's cool. And it's cool how it's grown every year as well. Like, it seems like it gets bigger and bigger. I know I have a friend of a friend that I think he was taking his family to... If not this one, then the next one they're doing.
Yeah, this one is in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
Time.
Yeah. So, yeah, it might... It's either this one or the next one. There might be summer games done quick. They're going to this year. And he was really excited about it.
I would go. But,
I would too.
It's like fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a charity speed run here in Ohio called...
Buckeye Bash?
Yeah, Buckeye Speed Bash.
Oh, I just got a thing about that here the other day. But no, that's awesome. That's really cool. I would be, you know, if the tickets were, you know... relatively cheap.
Unfortunately, they're not.
Ah.
It's like $60 for the weekend.
Well, there...
Which, I mean...
There you have it. I mean, the weekend, but...
It goes to charity.
Yeah.
And their website is even like, sorry, the tickets are so expensive, but it's expensive to run this event. So, I mean, if you're serious about it, it's probably worth it, but...
Oh, sure.
I can't swing $60 tickets.
No.
And they don't comp anybody either. They don't even comp the runners. Everybody has to chip in.
Wow.
So, I mean, they're not being greedy about it.
Yeah, well.
Somebody's got to rent the room at the Airport Hilton or whatever.
Airport Hilton, yeah.
It might be the Airport Hilton, yeah, right. I don't remember.
Well, cool. That sounds awesome.
Speed running is cool and fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I could never do it because I don't have the patience.
Yeah. I've seen a couple people speed run. One was Symphony of the Night, like a glitch through of that. And that was really interesting to watch them kind of like, hey, if you hold back and down for this many seconds and then get hit at this precise moment, you like jump half the screen, half the map over and like back and forth and stuff. That's really cool.
That was a lot of the Mario glitches is like, if you jump here and turn right, you glitch through, slide through this wall and you're at the end of the level.
Yeah.
I think if I was going to speed run a game, it'd be a Mario.
Mm, sure.
What Fallout was that?
Oh, that one was so good. This dude, Tomato Angus, which he had to change his name for it to be more appropriate.
Uh-huh.
He speed ran Fallouts 1 through 4 in 2 hours.
Oh my gosh.
All four games, one after the other.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That is impressive.
Was it New Vegas where there's that one glitch? Where, like, you open the menu and it, like, pushes you forward. So he was, like, rocketing through the sky.
Yeah,
he kept opening and closing. And it's just, like, flying. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he basically starts flying like a jet through the game. It's ridiculous. There's one point, I didn't see it because we had to go to class or whatever, where he actually had, like, a physical, like, model made out of solo cups that he used to describe how you do a trick. Like, he had a visual aid.
Oh, wow.
And he was a funny guy, too. He was one of the
more entertaining
presenters.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, very cool. Okay, so yeah, I don't have a ton to check out this week. I watched a couple things. The first thing I watched, because the something we're going to talk about at the second half of the show, there's a trailer for the X-Men spinoff New Mutants. Because of that, I watched the mid-90s made-for-television movie Generation X, which is awful. So this was taking like a bunch of like... at the time, no name or barely named characters and trying to do a spinoff. Like it was, they made a made for TV movie to try to spin off a TV series based on these characters. It was like Jubilee and like, God, I can't even remember.
Speedball?
No, not even that. Like there's a guy named Skin who could stretch his arms kind of a little bit.
Really good in 90s CG.
Oh, it was real bad. There was a character named Mondo who had super strength, and there was a character who could shoot lasers out of his eyes, but not like Cyclops. Just lasers. Basically, any power that allowed them to not have to animate anything other than like a lot of people with super strength.
The most budget conscious superpowers.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like the team, and I mean, these are all like actual X-Men. And the team was led by Banshee and Emma Frost, two other characters that you can get away with not having any kind of CG. You can have just Emma Frost put her hands to her temples, and that's it for your graphics. And same thing, similar with Banshee, just going, ah, just yelling.
You just need the waves, just, the sound waves.
Oh, didn't even have that.
Just blow some air then.
It was blew some, yeah. He would yell and then it would cut and you would see a kid like being pulled on like a, obviously pulled on like a string that was, you know, chroma keyed out and with like a fan blowing on them to make it look like there's, yeah, exactly. Basically.
Some loosely paper blown by.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. And a lot of it was pretty tame. There was one scene in the version that I had downloaded, because this show ended up, it was made for US, but eventually only really played in Canada on like CTV or something like that, and they could get away with a little more like stuff. So Jubilee just out of nowhere drops the F-bomb.
Nice.
In one scene. And I mean, just once out of nowhere, and it sticks out like a sore thumb, but they were like, hey, we could do it. Why not? And the villain is it was original for the movie. It was a guy played by an actor named Matt Frewer. I don't know if you're familiar with that name.
It sounds familiar.
What if I said Max Headroom?
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's Max Headroom. And he is basically playing budget Jim Carrey as a mad scientist. But it's cheesy bad. It's
Max
like
Headroom probably was just on the outs at this time, I imagine.
Yeah, it was about had been gone for about 3 years at that point. So he was trying to just find other work, basically. And he was basically doing Max Headroom, but as a mad scientist. But it was, in parts, it was enjoyably bad. But for the most part, it was just kind of boring.
That's always the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to be bad, be entertainingly bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like the Fantastic Four Roger Corman movie.
See, that one's fun, though.
Yeah, that's a good bad movie.
That's a good bad. Yeah. Yeah. Be more like that and less like the Supergirl movie. Have you ever
I've
seen that one?
I've never seen that one.
Yeah, it's not great. It's like they try to set up a lot of the Supergirl lore and try to tie it in with the Christopher Reeve Superman, but most of the movie is spent with her at an all-girls school chasing boys.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
That's what I think of when I think of Supergirl.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not the best. The other thing I checked out, and check this out, because this week is both contains David Bowie's birthday and David Bowie passed away 4 years ago. So I watched The Man Who Fell to Earth.
It's a good movie. It's a wild movie.
It's a wild trip. Yeah. Yeah. I had seen it previously, but
we watched it with his dad.
Yeah, that was a little awkward.
Oh, sure. Oh, no, I can understand that. Yeah. And I mean, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I mean, David Bowie, he's not the strongest actor. I mean, his music is definitely his forte. But he does a great job as an alien who comes to Earth and basically gets corrupted by you know,
humanity.
Humanity. Yeah. It's based on a book. The book is pretty good. And it goes in a couple different directions than the movie. I always forget that Rip Torn, a young Rip Torn, is in that. Rip Torn's one of those actors that I like in my brain is always old.
Yeah.
Like, I never think of him being like anything more than like a 50-year-old man, like, at the youngest.
Like Patrick Stewart. You never think of him as any younger than he is on Star Trek Next Gen.
Right. And because he's looked the same for the past 40 years.
He still looks like he did on Star Trek Next Gen.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's, if you get a chance, watch The Man Who Fell to Earth. It's definitely,
it's a good movie.
It's a ride. It's very good. It makes you think. It's,
see, now I've seen that one.
Yeah.
Because it's a weird movie.
Cause it's a weird one. Yeah. but no, that's all I've checked out for the week.
I could go into my crackpot theory about how I think, David Bowie committed assisted suicide.
I thought you read that he did.
I read that his biographer said that he did.
Mm.
But the way his last album was released and the timing of which
it
he
seemed,
died.
Yes.
And the way, you know, the way he had the cancer was, I think he chose the exact day he wanted to go.
I believe, yeah. The way, yeah. There's a lot of evidence kind of pointing that direction. I could definitely see that. Because his last album was a lot of, hey, I'm not going to be around.
Yeah. It's a really, really good album, mm-hmm. but it's also a really hard listen.
It's hard to listen. Yeah, it is.
Black Star is an amazing song, and the video mm-hmm. for it is like just some wild occult stuff going mm-hmm. on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. God, David Bowie. Man, he's good. Why was he in Omicron the Nomad Soul? I still need to play that game. Like, it looks like hot garbage.
We need to do a stream of it.
We do. Yeah.
We just need to pick a day of the week to stream every week and mm-hmm. just do it.
Yep, I agree. I mean, that's for off the mic talk, but I absolutely agree with you. But yeah. Oh, I guess I should mention, for folks who don't know, Omicron the Nomad Soul was a 3D open world adventure game that David Bowie did the music for and also starred in a couple of roles in. And
It's not just the open world adventure game. It's also a fighting game.
It's also a fighting game and a first person shooter. Yeah. It's a lot of things.
And it doesn't do any of them.
Not a single.
Particularly well.
Not a single thing.
The adventure game stuff is kind of okay.
Except for the parts where if you miss an item, you have to backtrack like miles, in-game miles.
It's better than Sierra style where you just lose.
Well, you just lose. That's very true. But no, the highlight of that game is David Bowie, like, is in it.
He does musical performances in it.
He does a couple.
He does all the music in it, doesn't he? Or most of the music.
Between him and one of the guys from The Cure. Between the two of them.
That's
did all
a good,
the, yeah.
That's a good combination.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the music is the highlight.
Just even the opening song is good mm-hmm. when it's just flying through the samey cyberpunk city.
Yeah.
That game was ahead of its time, but also not, it wasn't executed well.
Listen, anyone who plays Nomad Soul and then plays something like Heavy Rain, David Cage should win every award for most improved. Like,
I don't know, at least Omicron is like a video game.
That's true.
And it's not a movie that you push buttons during.
Yeah, it's not an interactive movie. Yeah.
Not that I don't like interactive movies. I think there's a place for that kind of content, and it is fun.
Yeah, I actually need to, is Detroit Become Human on PC yet?
I think so.
Okay, because that's a game that, if it ever goes on sale, I might have to pick it up, because that actually, it has a lot of hokey stuff. And
but it's
like,
still fun.
It looks pretty, it looks still pretty fun.
It is.
Yeah.
You just gotta turn your brain off. It's not like some sort of Academy Award winning film into a video game like David Cage thinks it is. But it's a fun game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's no, I think Until Dawn does the same thing better.
Mm.
Because it knows it's a schlocky horror movie that you're playing through.
Right.
And it's got the Mr. Robot guy
mm-hmm.
in it. And also, what's her name? The cheerleader from Heroes.
Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah, she's in it too. And they're all really good motion capture performances. That game doesn't get as much praise as it deserves because it plays better than the David Cage movie interactive movies do.
Are there tank controls?
I don't remember. There might be.
Okay. Because that is the biggest problem with a lot of David Cage. Well, the script is the biggest problem with a lot of David Cage games, but also the way people move. Everybody moves like a car.
Which is something we left behind 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. One person that I watch do streams and stuff, one thing they said about Detroit Become Human and Heavy Rain, really, is that it's fascinating to see like how the studio, like Quantic Dream, has how good they have gotten because the games have gotten better despite David Cage continuing his same, like, if left to his devices, David Cage would continue to make just really bad games just constantly, but the dev team around him keeps reining him in just enough to make something that is playable and actually have some fun moments. So, yeah.
I like how Kojima lost anybody who would ever rein him in, but still managed to make a pretty solid game.
So yeah, that's the thing. Kojima, he's nuts, but at least he knows where he's going with it. David Cage doesn't seem in the scripts. He doesn't seem like he knows. He doesn't have an endpoint. He just has, hey, I saw this in a movie once. I think this is cool, but doesn't think of the context surrounding it. Where Kojima,
he also goes, I saw this in a movie once.
I saw this in a movie once, but at least he goes, I know how to fit this into my game and have it make sense contextually within the universe that I am setting up. Now, if Kojima starts getting into films, like I, from what I understand, he wants to do, he is going to make the worst movies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, his movies are going to be nonsense that no one is going to enjoy. Like, Kojima's nonsense is best left for 100-plus-hour games where if you don't want to read about the crazy,
yeah,
you just play the game.
Like, I haven't been reading the myriad of emails you receive in Death Stranding.
Oh, there's a few that are buck wild insane. Yeah, there's a couple off mic that I'll tell you, because it's some of those ideas that he gets are, they're out there.
I know there's one that's about asexuality.
That's the one I'm dancing
and
around.
He kind
yeah.
of just gets it wrong.
He considers a cataclysmic event the cause for asexuality, and that's super not right. Yeah. But we can shuffle on past this topic.
Do we have any more check it outs? We really got off on a tangent there.
It's a good tangent though.
Yeah. I've been playing The Witcher on the Switch. Witcher.
You playing the Witcher on the Switcher?
And you know what? It's really good on there.
Really?
I mean, no, it does not look great. Mm. Especially if you dock it.
Oh no. We both were like, ew.
Yeah. Well, why aren't you playing this on the TV? And I'm like, or I told you I'm afraid to play this on the TV mm-hmm. because I'm afraid what it'll look like. And you're kind of like, just do it. Just put it on the TV. And I put it in the dock, and we both go, oh. Because it's bad. It looks
like,
bad.
Like, there's blurry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
But if you're playing it in handheld, it looks fine.
Oh, cool.
It honestly looks fine, and the frame rate holds up good.
Mm.
It doesn't feel slow or choppy to me at all.
Oh, cool.
So it's a perfectly serviceable way to play The Witcher, I think.
Serviceable? That's, hey. Yeah.
I've been playing a little bit of it every night before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Hey, I actually heard something earlier today. I guess Henry Cavill, he is like a huge video game guy and apparently has been basing his vocal portrayal of Geralt on The Witcher show based on the performance of the game actor, except, you know, British instead of English or American, but like,
you can tell because it sounds like he's doing a bad impression of the actor from the game.
Yeah. But like, I guess in every interview he keeps talking about, you know, more and more like, oh yeah, I play this game like constantly. Yeah. And like,
he said he finished it like 3 times.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
And then when they ask him what console, he just goes PC and he just dumps on all the consoles, man, which is funny. I mean, if you had infinite money, it'd be the place to play
it. Would be.
You know,
yeah.
He's got infinite money.
He's got infinite money. Yeah, he's got all that Superman money.
Yeah.
His ill-gotten Superman money.
He's got to do something else when he's not dating people grossly younger than he is.
I'm sorry, I just get a funny visual of this big muscle man
sitting at the computer.
Like, the headset on.
Yeah.
He's got this giant meat hand on a tiny mouse. Like.
I'm sorry, that's just in my head. I had to get it out.
Oh, sure. No, that's great.
I crushed another mouse again. He's got just some Amazon box full of mice.
He pulls another one out and plugs it in.
They had to like replace his clothes because his muscles kept...
Yeah, when they were making the Witcher show.
Oh,
they had
that's...
to repair his clothes because his muscles...
That's fantastic.
Kept destroying his dumb black leather armor that looks ridiculous.
I gotta watch this show.
It's not bad.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
that's
show.
What I keep hearing. I keep hearing it's not
just
bad.
A lot of it's kind of silly.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'll take silly.
Yeah.
I'll take silly over serious.
He's just like a little... He's like eyeshadow away looking like the night man from Always Sunny. Like if they would have gave him the cat eyes that he has in the game.
You're complaining about that.
Yeah, because I'm like, why doesn't he have his cat eyes like the game?
Well,
and
isn't he supposed to go evil in season two or something?
I
swear I've seen a picture of Geralt of him with like some kind of eyeliner or something because he goes evil. So he might end up looking like Nightman. Which I discovered was an actual show at one point.
What?
There's a show called Nightman. He was a man who played the saxophone who was struck by lightning and then could hear everyone's evil thoughts.
Wow.
He had no other powers, so he just fought crime in a spandex suit and hoped he didn't die. They made 2 seasons of it.
What?
Yeah. It's insane.
So he's not the fighter of the day, man.
He is not the fighter of the day, man, unfortunately. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into some news.
Toss a coin to your Witcher.
All right, hey, we're back. That was Diamond Dogs by David Bowie, because, hey, David Bowie.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about Kojima, too, earlier.
Yeah, so it all fits. Everything's thematic this week.
Actually, we could have played The Man Who Sold the World, too. That's in Metal Gear 5.
We could have.
Although the song that makes me think of Metal Gear 5 the most is The Final Countdown.
Well, yeah. All right, hey, let's go ahead and get into some news. What do we want to start off with this week?
Let's start on the down note so we can get, you know, go up from there.
Yeah, let's get the one negative one out of the way first.
A famous internet humor site, College Humor, has been hit with like a huge amount of layoffs.
Yeah.
And it really sucks because that's one of the original like big internet humor sites.
Yeah, they had to lay off like over 100 people. I think their workforce is down to maybe 10 people at this point.
Jeez.
And like they're not going to be creating new content anymore.
Like one guy is going to be in charge of it now.
It's one guy and they're basically just whatever they have waiting to release, they're just going to release on a schedule and then that is it.
Because they just started like a their own streaming service.
Yeah.
It was called Dropout and it looked like it had good stuff on it.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing that happened to Cracked
a couple
years ago at this point.
Yeah. But no, this is a real shame. And I mean, there are many people that you can point the blame at for the end of College Humor, but I personally point the blame almost directly at Facebook. So the reason for that is a few years ago, Facebook wanted to try to be a video competitor to YouTube.
They wanted a piece of that YouTube pie.
Pretty much, yeah. So they ended up getting a bunch of video content creators like College Humor and I think Dorkly and I think... There was something like that.
Because I remember
they
made you watch their show to see what the review percentage for, I think, Batman v Superman was.
Yeah, something like that. But they got all these different web video producer production companies to sign exclusive contracts with Facebook. And what Facebook did was they artificially inflated their view counts so they could seem as though they were getting, you know, millions of hits per video. Which is great for, like, you know, a company making the videos, because they think, hey, that means we're seeing more people. That's more ad revenue. That's, you know, that's great. Business is booming. Problem is, Facebook was not giving those inflated numbers, rightfully so, to the advertisers. So advertisers weren't paying out as much as, say, College Humor thought they should have been making because of those inflated numbers. And because of that, they ended up with, like, almost no money.
Oh, and Facebook's video player is just, like, a nightmare.
It's hot garbage.
You'll watch one video because you wanted to, and it'll roll into something that just, like, is the world's worst content you would ever never want to watch.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah.
It's just, like, somebody's, like, Newgrounds cartoon about Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to see this.
Well, the truth is, if I see a video that I want to watch on YouTube, I will, or on Facebook, I will close the Facebook app and go to YouTube and just search it, because I don't like it. It's no good. And this is just dirty business practicing.
Yeah.
But par for the course with Facebook, unfortunately.
And a lot of times, like, somebody with a whole bunch of money will roll up and buy these websites and then not know what to do with them at all.
Well, what happened to
like Gawker
has Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Although I never liked their content that much, but they were in a similar boat because someone came in, bought up all their stuff, and then didn't know what to do with it.
Because all they did was steal images off of image boards and repurpose them in a more palatable form, I think.
Yeah, that's not the best, but there was a market for that at one point.
It's like, I want to see the jokes from 4chan, but I really don't want to have to interact with the rest of that environment. And that's what Cheeseburger was.
But that there is, I mean, yeah. I don't want to have to go to 4chan.
I don't either. Not these days.
Yeah. But anyway, this is a shame. And, you know, there's, you know, over 100 very funny, very talented, you know, people that are out looking for jobs now. And I hope they all land on their feet.
Yes. I wish them all the best.
Yeah. It looks like a lot of them are being scooped up by different. I mean, a lot of them are getting, you know, going places where they're going to, where their content's going to be seen.
Get picked up by BuzzFeed.
That would be good. But
the ghost voice from BuzzFeed,
mm-hmm.
they recently left and started their own production company.
Oh, really?
So
yeah.
What is their show called? BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Oh, okay.
That's a very good show too. They're very funny dudes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I just wish all these folks the best. I hope they make it.
Okay, so more uplifting topic.
More upbeat. Okay,
more extremely upbeat topic. The Birds of Prey trailer came out today,
yes.
And it is great.
It is
it's really hilarious. Super good.
Yeah, I know I had my reservations about this film at first, but watching this trailer, I am so in.
Yeah, I mean, the Suicide Squad connection doesn't do it any favors, but it looks like they're literally blowing that up within the first couple minutes of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. No, it looks like, yes, this is going to be its own thing. They just happen to have the same Harley Quinn in them, and that's awesome.
I love Margot Robbie's take on Harley mm-hmm. Quinn.
I do too.
Think she's hilarious in these trailers.
Yep. You get to see a little more of some of the other members of the team. I think Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Huntress is going to be great, because they're just like, she's just so angry.
Yeah, she's going to be the angry and deadpan. Like polar opposite to Harley.
Yeah. Yep. But no, that's great.
We
gotta
see Black Canary do the canary cry, which mm-hmm. means they're going to lean into crazy superpowers, kind of.
That's awesome. Ewan McGregor as Black Mask actually has a black mask in this, so that's awesome.
I'm excited. I'm super stoked for it. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I am too.
And the Harley Quinn animated series has made me come around on the fact that Harley Quinn doesn't need to sound like Arlene Sorkin all the time mm-hmm. to be good.
Yeah.
There's room in this world for multiple takes on Harley Quinn.
It's more about the spirit of the character and it doesn't have to be the voice of the character.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can't wait. This is fantastic. Polar opposite style of trailer, The New Mutants dropped a trailer.
And it's dark.
It's dark and spooky.
Spooky.
I mean, and it looks like it could be good.
Yeah, well, I mean, the last trailer for this movie came out in October of 2017, so they've had the time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, there's been a lot of shakeups in the movie world since then.
A few, yeah. This is going to be the last X-Men adjacent production that does not have Disney's fingers all over it. Yeah. This is it.
This is the last thing before Disney controls all fiction.
Right. But this trailer, it's definitely not a superhero movie. Which I knew going in. I remember when they originally announced it, and this was even earlier than 2017. This movie's been in production for a very long time. But the way they described it, it is a horror movie, but the main protagonist just happened to have superpowers.
They were doing the superhero horror movie before Doctor Strange, the new Doctor Strange, was even a twinkle in anyone's eye.
Right. Yeah. And it looks really good. I really like the characters that they've picked for this. I think it's interesting that they are focused, like the main focus is going to be Danny Moonstar, who has an interesting power set. She can pull your fears out of your head psychically and project them as an illusion.
Isn't that like what Bird Box?
A little bit. Yeah, it's like Bird Box. Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know. I never saw that movie, but it sounds like Bird Box.
It is, but done better. Yeah. But it has, one of my favorite characters, Cannonball, isn't it? Who is invulnerable while he flies through the air, or as he puts it in the comics, I'm nigh invincible when I'm blasting.
When I'm blasting. I just hear Nigh Invincible and it makes me think of The Tick.
The Tick, yeah.
It's like the guy, the cannon guy, Fire Me Boy.
yeah, the human bullet and Fire Me Boy. And
Fire Me Boy. Fire Me Boy. And then that's these kids' name is Fire Me Boy.
Fire Me Boy, yeah. That's a great sidekick name. Yeah. Oh man! Oh,
I need to go and watch more of the animated Tick.
Oh, it's so good.
When it hits hard. Mm-hmm. There's an occasional episode that's like, that was obviously a kid's cartoon, like not amazing, but the good ones are so good.
Proto Clown is probably my favorite episode. I love the episode where a scientist creates a genetically altered clown because he thought clowns are funny. If I make a big clown, he'd be even funnier because bigger is funnier. So you end up with an Incredible Hulk style clown who doesn't like being laughed at, and he punches the Hulk punches the Tick into space. And
oh, that's when he has that big like philosophical journey through space
and runs into like their version of Galactus. Yeah, Proto Clown hate laugh. It's so good, and like the scientist is so sincere. He's like, I created the perfect clown, and I thought if the clown was bigger, he'd be funnier. Oh, it's so good.
I think we're contractually obligated to mention Little Wooden Boy.
Yo, you little wooden boy.
Talk about the Tick. Little Wooden Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm so mad at Amazon for canceling the live action Tick.
Ah, me too. It was super good. Oh well, you know what? The Tick. Give it a couple 5 years. Someone else would do something with the Tick because that project will never end. And
it's too good not to.
Yeah.
Especially in our oversaturated superhero market.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly, it would be great if, you know, what would be great. And the tone may not be 100% perfect, but follow me on this. After the Harley Quinn cartoon series for DC universe ends, because that show, unless they move that show to another streaming service, it's going to be a one and done.
Yeah, it's
going
to die an undeserved death.
Can you see a Tick series in that vein where the Tick is the only totally, completely altruistic character, where everyone else is Harley Quinn universe style over the top?
Yeah.
But the Tick is like, sticks out like a sore thumb because he is so overly like naive and like, yeah.
Chaotic good.
Yes. Chaotic good in a chaotic neutral world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. But the New Mutants trailer looks really good. I don't think it's going to be for everybody, especially because it definitely is more horror than superhero. But I think it's going
to. Don't bring your kids to this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that anybody listens to that.
No, no.
If the Deadpool audiences are any indication.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, a couple of quick hits before we get into the Pokemon news. There's going to be a Knives Out sequel, kind of. It's really more of the Daniel Craig's character, Benoit Blanc. It's just another mystery movie starring his character. Great.
There needs to be more mystery movies in general.
I agree.
I'm down for that.
I agree. And if they're all done in a similar vein to Knives Out, which is just like Clue, I'm down.
Yeah.
Perfect. Good. Got a couple of superhero movie casting news. Colin Farrell has been, he had been cast a while back, but they never said who he was going to be in the new Batman movie. Well, they have announced that he is going to be a version of the Penguin.
So he's going to have to just get really short and gain a lot of weight.
Yeah.
No, they won't do that.
They won't do that. They'll go the Gotham route.
Yeah.
Where it's like the Penguin, but he's a skinny guy. He just kind of has a long nose or something. This Batman movie is shaping up to look very interesting. I know the story that they're basing it on, and I know why they're doing it. It's an excuse to put all of the villains in like cameo roles. Like a lot of these, like the Riddler's going to show up at one point, you know, Penguin's here. There's, among other things, it's the origin of Two-Face. It has Catwoman show up for a bit. I mean, it's a little bit of everything. And
whoever is in charge knows the fact that the villains are the best part of Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have Batman who is so... I like Batman as a character. I don't talk about Batman much because everybody likes Batman a little bit. But Batman is so driven in his one goal of stopping crime that it makes him almost two-dimensional. Like, you can do a lot with Bruce Wayne and Batman, but, like, in a movie setting, it's basically, I am a block of wood who has to fight for justice.
I punch good.
I punch good, and I have money to buy Bat Car. But, so the real fun is in the wild villain characters. So I think this is good casting. I like Colin Farrell. I think he's a good actor. On the flip side of things, Christian Bale has been cast as an unnamed role in Thor, Love, and Thunder.
He's going to be Batman.
He's going to be Batman in Thor, Love, and Thunder. Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Might as well. No. They haven't announced what his role is going to be. If I had to guess, he has the voice and his face is angular enough. I think he's going to be Beta Ray Bill, who is like Space Thor, kind of.
He's going to be Frog Thor.
Oh, that would be...
Or Cat Thor.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful if within the first... Like, the movie starts with Chris Hemsworth being turned into a frog. And, like, that's... And they go from there to Jane Foster as the new Thor.
Yes, please.
Yeah. But Beta Ray Bill is a Thor, is an alien from another species who Mjolnir deemed worthy of bestowing the powers of Thor onto. His defining feature is he's a big buff guy with a horse face.
Horse for a head.
Yeah, he has a horse for a head. And I mean, I love Beta Ray Bill. He's a great character. I think he's great because he is... like just alien enough, and he's like doesn't have like any social graces. He's just like, I am here to stop crime, and that is it. He's almost like Space RoboCop with a horse face. And we need more wild things in these movies. I go bigger.
Yeah,
I want superhero movies to go bigger. We've seen pretty big. Infinity War was very big. But we just need to go wilder.
I mean, with Thor dipping his toe in the Guardians mm-hmm. universe, it's going to go that way.
It's got to. Yeah. And I'm so here for it. Okay. So the last thing we have here.
Big time Pokemon news.
Big time Pokemon news. Do we want to start with the little one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're remaking Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, the Red and Blue Rescue Team.
Yeah, but
they're calling it Rescue Team DX, I think.
Right. So they're putting the features from both games into one game. So I've never played the Mystery Dungeon game. So what is this?
It's a roguelike dungeon crawler that also happens to have Pokemon in it.
Okay. So it's not like you're catching things and...
No, and there's no humans
right.
in them at all.
Right, like your character is a human that's been turned into a Pikachu.
Yeah.
And so you're going through dungeons and fighting things in like real-time
saving,
kind of things.
Save, not real-time.
Not real-time? It's
turn-based.
Turn-based,
like, okay. Every time you move, everything else moves.
Oh, gotcha.
Type
okay.
of turn-based.
Gotcha. Okay. And, you know, that's fine. That's fun.
I've never been a huge fan. I like mystery dungeon games, but I've never been a huge fan of the Pokemon ones.
I've never played them. I've never had much interest. Although the art style in this.
Yeah.
It looks very painted.
They went for like a painterly picture booky looking. Yeah. Art style, picture book. Really nice.
Yeah. It actually reminded me a lot of like old school Winnie the Pooh.
That's
like,
what I was about to say. It reminds me of the Winnie the Pooh levels in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just like the illustrate. It's very, very illustrated. And,
yeah. It's a good look.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. I don't know if I like it enough to pick it up.
Especially
but,
since it's probably going to be like $60.
Yeah, that's not going to...
For a Game Boy Advance game that looks pretty.
Right.
I don't know. I really like the Mystery Dungeon games, the Dragon Quest ones, where you play as Torneko from Dragon Quest IV.
Mm.
Those are really good. There's one based on Tower of Duraga, that old Namco arcade game.
Sounds familiar.
That's really good. But for some reason, when they put the Pokemon in, I lose interest. I guess because I'm not collecting cool swords at that point.
Well, yeah, that's
yeah,
probably.
There's not, I mean, there's like loot that you get, but it's not the same.
You can collect a cool sword, you know, Aegislash.
Yeah, one. Yeah, Aegislash.
Yeah. Actually, that one's two swords.
Yeah.
okay, so let's talk about the other stuff, the big news. So Pokemon Sword and Shield. So, okay, before I get into this, so Pokemon games... Typically, they release a couple in their mainline games, and then they release, like, a deluxe version or a sequel version or something like that. Does that
or
sound...
Or the last couple games, it's been two other versions.
So, like, yeah, there was, like, Sun and Moon, and then Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon.
Or there was...
Black 2, White 2.
Yellow. Pokemon Yellow
was the first one, yeah. And they've done this all the way from the beginning, and it always... To be honest, it... For the longest time, I was not on the Pokemon mainline. Like, I never bought the games when they first came out. I would always wait for the third one. I had Yellow. I had Crystal. I had...
Platinum.
Platinum. So...
Pokeplats.
Yeah, Pokeplats. So, yeah. And I think I did that all the way up to... Through Gen 4, because I never picked up Gen 5, because I didn't really care for Black or White.
I just never bought the reissue.
Yeah. But
I get the first one and then I'm like, well, I'm not bothering with that.
Yeah, see, I would get the original and get the reissue with the extra features.
I'd never felt like I'd really missed anything.
Yeah. But and people were kind of speculating they're going to do something similar with this, with Sword and Shield, and I was kind of dreading that happening.
Actually, I heard the Sun and Shield one Sun and Moon one makes the story worse.
Really?
They make some edits to the story that makes it not hit as hard.
Oh, man. Bummer.
Because there was some actually good beats in there.
There was
some
good stuff.
There was a little bit of meat on the bones on that one.
In Sun and Moon, yeah.
And apparently they kind of double back and make it not as good.
Oh, bummer. But anyway, instead of doing like an Ultra Sword and Ultra Shield, they are, for the first time ever, doing paid DLC.
Which is fine.
Which is great. I'm stoked for it. It is going to be put out in a couple of chunks, similar to the
Zelda one. It's a lot like the Zelda one.
A lot like the Zelda one. The first one's coming out in June. The next one's coming out in November. So got a little time to wait. But each section is opening up a new area, and it's introducing a bunch of previously... created Pokemon that you couldn't get in the game otherwise.
200 returning Pokemon,
which is pretty great. The areas look amazing. The Isle of Armor?
Yeah, the Isle of Armor and the some kind of tundra.
Crown Tundra.
Crown Tundra.
Yeah. So I like that they're still going with like the knights and like that kind of theming. I'm stoked. I mean, it's $30.
But that's for both.
That's for both parts.
I've seen a lot of people confused about how it works.
People,
a lot of people think it's $60 for both parts. No, you just buy it once for $30.
Yeah, people's comprehension skills on this has been troubling.
Yeah, and I don't think it's that complicated. I don't know where the disconnect is, other than maybe they just want to be mad.
People, no one is ever going to be happy about anything when it comes to Pokemon.
Like Star Wars.
Like Star Wars. It's too big. It's too big to succeed. but like, $30. It sounds like a lot at the outset, but it's for two. It's for a full, almost a full year's worth of content. It is half the price of what would have been the alternative, which would be an all new game.
Yeah.
Plus, you don't have to start over fresh. You can use your save from the previous game.
And if you think about it, it's really $15 an area, which is perfectly reasonable price for a DLC.
That's perfectly reasonable. And you know what? If you don't want to buy them, you don't have to, because the game is coming with a free update that allows you to receive any of the Pokemon that are being added in these updates, paid DLC.
So if you have a friend that gets the DLC, they can give
They can just trade you all the stuff and then you're set. And I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Or even, you could even surprise trade. Is that what they're calling
it?
You could surprise trade and get a Snorlax with Cradle Cap. Or not Snorlax, Slowpoke.
Slowpoke with Cradle Cap, yeah.
There's a new Slowpoke that has just like yellow on his head. It's like, why does he have Cradle Cap?
Yeah. Although, I'll tell you what, I've used the surprise trade, and all I get are Wooloos. All I get are those dumb sheep.
I got starters a couple times.
Really?
Yeah, I think I have all three starters just from pure luck.
I get junk. I trade away good things. Like, I was training up, like, a good score bunny. And a lot of my, you know, okay, but not what I was looking for, I was trading out, because it's, like, perfectly reasonable stuff. And I was getting, like, garbage. But I'm stoked with this. They're adding a couple other features, especially with the Isle of Armor. It's like an XP share, which is going to be good. There's the Apricorns, which is a cool feature that I think was super underused.
It was only in the second game.
The second game, where you basically
you crafted Pokeballs.
You crafted, you made
artisanal
Pokeballs to catch your buddies with. And there was like a third thing that they
a lot of new clothes.
A lot of new clothes.
And a lot of cool like punk styles.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm like, when I went to the city Pierce.
Yeah.
As I'm like, where's your clothes shop? Because I want to buy all your rad clothes.
Yeah.
They don't have one in
Well,
there.
Now it's going to be there.
Is it clear that they just didn't have enough time and this is them putting the rest of the game together? Yes.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
But I'm not mad.
No, I'm not either. Yeah.
I think there was $60 worth of content. Mm-hmm. Was it the best Pokemon content? No, but it was $60 worth of Pokemon.
No, but I think with this all together, I think once this is all released, and if they, you know what, and there's nothing saying that they won't do more DLC after this. It just kind of depends, you know. Vote with your dollar.
Yeah, and it'll do great.
And
people tried to boycott this one, and it's the best-selling one. So I think it'll do okay.
Yeah. So I think this has the biggest potential to be the best one if they keep working on it and keep adding stuff in.
Yeah.
I'm stoked for the new Gigantamax.
There's some kind of new co-op system they were talking about going into
dungeon raiding.
Going into dungeons as teams, and that's whatever that entails sounds cool.
That's cool because I like the little bit of I've tried some of the online stuff,
and it's fun. Yeah, raid battles are fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fine.
There's not a whole lot there, but it's fun, and this will fix that.
Yeah, yeah. This it seemed like we got a good 80% of the game when Sword and Shield dropped. And this seems like the extra 20% plus maybe an extra 5% on top just to say, hey, here you go. Sorry. Yeah. I like the Galarian forms of the three birds.
Yeah, the three birds from the original game have new forms. They all look great.
Zapdos looks like an ostrich.
Articuno has like these really cool sunglass looking things, like Phantom Thief mask on his face.
First thing I thought was Tuxedo Mask.
Yeah.
But yeah, especially because it like flapped its wing out like it's like a cape or whatever. But I'm stoked. It's a shame that we didn't really get much else in the direct, because this direct was like 20 minutes long. The only thing about Pokemon Home we got was that, hey, it's going to be here in about a month.
Yeah, it comes out in February. What does it do? I don't know.
They don't know yet either.
Holds your Pokemon, I guess.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to copy Pokemon from that last game. Let's go. Eevee Pikachu into Sword and Shield.
And that's cool.
At least the ones that appear, which sounds like it'll be most of them at this point.
I think so, yeah. And you can actually also put stuff from Pokemon Go into it as well. It has that connectivity.
That's cool.
So that's cool. So that means you can at least get the first 151 over there if the game will allow you. But yeah, I'm stoked. I'm really
I hope Home
excited
has
for this.
Some extra cool features like trading and maybe like a battle simulation, like a Pokemon Stadium style, like set up some battles so you can play with.
So yeah, that would be cool.
Different moves and stuff. Not like a game.
Not like a game, but yeah, I know there's going to be trading, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be mini games, which I think you could then use to get like in game. Like you could, it's probably do mini games on your phone to earn battle points so that you can do post game stuff in Sword and Shield, which is similar to what they did with the Pokemon Online. Whatever, I forget what they called it.
Bank? Pokemon Bank?
No, it wasn't the Pokemon Bank, but there was like an online thing.
Global
Connect, whatever.
Yeah.
They did something similar with that. That was like their web browser thing. I think they're going to do something like that. And that's cool. I'm down with it. But yeah, I think that's... I'm excited for it. I know there's a lot of people that are upset, but yeah, I don't know.
It's a children's monster game. You're going to have to let it go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like,
yeah.
Just enjoy what's there.
Yeah, enjoy what's there. They could have very easily said, hey, we put out this game and we're happy with the content that we did and we're done. Or they could make you buy a full $60 game again.
Yeah.
I'm cool with
it. I know people are, they locked all the Pokemon behind a paywall. It's like, no, actually they didn't.
No,
you
they didn't.
Still get them.
Yeah.
Like they could have did. They could have literally locked them behind the paywall, but they didn't do that.
Yeah. So
they locked story content.
Story
but
content.
That's
but that's but hey, that's fine. Whatever.
I'm willing to pay for more story content.
Yeah. Yeah, same here.
I think that's absolutely fair.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it sounds like we're kind of talking ourselves in a circle here. So
yeah, we're both right.
Yeah. All right. So we've actually hit time. So let's go ahead and wrap things up.
We forgot about the email.
That's right. We got an email from power listener Jerry. We'll read it next week. I promise we'll get to it. We kind of ran out of time.
Had some good Star Wars stuff in there,
it did,
and I always
and,
like talking about Star
yeah,
Wars.
Yeah, we are absolutely going to get to it. Jerry, I got your email. We have some responses. Just, you know, hang tight for a week. We promise. But yeah, you've been listening to the show. Thank you for tuning in. You can find us on all sorts of social media areas like Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram by doing a search for Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload message hotline at 586-372-8020. Leave us a message with your Pokemon
opinion.
Hot takes.
What
yes.
do you think of the DLC? Let us
spicy
know.
Spicy takes.
How bad do you think that cradle cap is on that slope?
He's beautiful.
He's going to grow a big, long, blonde mane like,
oh,
Doug,
I hope so.
Like that Dugtrio from...
Dugtrio, yeah, or Ampharos.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can find all of our back episodes on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverload now. If you like the show and you want to help support us, you can check that out over there. You can actually get the show a couple days early, which is pretty cool. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So yeah, thank you again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.